In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you. We had the School of the Holy Spirit, and wonderful things happened. People were healed, blessed, delivered. It was wonderful. God showed up through the praise and worship of the people, and God did wonders. And that's what we're called to do, to praise and worship the Lord. I'm looking at the prophet Elisha today, the one who succeeded Elijah. Chapter 4, 2 Kings 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. You must know that the prophets had prophetettes, little prophets that were around them, and said unto Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, who was a little prophet, is dead, and you know that this servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be slaves." And Elisha said unto the woman, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in your house?" And she said, "Your handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." You see, God will use what you have. Your two fish and five loaves, if you give them, oh, give it over to the Lord. God will use what you have. What does she have? A pot of oil. And he said, "Go borrow vessels abroad to all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few." In other words, borrow many vessels. "And when you have come in, you shall shut the door upon you and upon your sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and shall set aside that which is full." Oh my gosh. So she's going to pour oil from the full vessel into the other vessels that they have. Or if you just want to talk about it, you know, you're going to just have one vessel full, but that's not what happens. The oil is going to multiply. God multiplies. He never divides. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. She poured out the oil into the vessels. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said unto her sons, "Bring me yet another vessel." And he said to her, "There is no vessel more." And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt and live, and your children may have rest." So we see that God uses what we have. He does not use what we don't have. What do you have to give to God today? You know, the gospel was the two fish and the five loaves that fed thousands and thousands of people. What do you have that you need to give to God so that He will multiply? If you have been given a gift and that gift is working, God will multiply that gift as you use it. I'll talk about the gift of healing. When you pray for healing and people are healed, the more you pray with people, the more you see healing. It expands. The gift expands. It starts small, like a pot of oil, but it expands as we use it. And that's what we're called to do, to use the gifts that God has given us. And as we use the gift, it multiplies. God multiplies. He never divides. You understand what I'm saying? You say, "Well, I don't have the gift of healing." Well, you don't pray with people, that's why. You don't pray with people. If you pray with people, you'll see that some people will get healed. Some people will get healed if you pray with people. But if you keep on saying, "I don't have any gifts," that's just what you're going to have, no gifts. But God has gifted everyone with a gift. Gifted me with gifts, gifted you with gifts. You say, I don't know what they are. Then you ask the Lord, what are the gifts that you've given me to build up the body of Christ? The gifts are given to build up the church. That's what the gifts are for, to build up the church. So we're going to look at Elisha and the Shunammite woman. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in to eat bread there. So whenever he went by that house, he knew he had dinner. So bread was given by this Shunammite woman. And she said unto her husband, Behold, I perceive that this is a holy man of God that passes by us continually. How did she know that? She discerned that. She discerned that. You know, everyone that says they're holy is not real. You have to discern who is the holy one. Jesus is the Holy One. He shares His holiness with people, but Jesus is the Holy One. There is no one holy but Jesus. Let us make a little chamber for this man, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he comes to us, that he shall turn in to this little room. And it fell on a day that he came, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. So she realizes he's a holy man. She's going to give him lodging when he comes, and she's not only going to feed him, but she's going to give him a bed, a table, a candle. And I tell you, as we care for God's prophets, God's gifts multiply as we care for God's prophets. I'm telling you that Elisha was a prophet. He asked for a double portion that Elijah had, and he got the double portion. And it fell on the day that he came, he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, so he has a servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. In other words, you've cared for us. You've cared for me, and you've cared for the one that I have as my servant. What is to be done for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or a captain of the host? In other words, you want me to talk to the king about you? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for you, for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. So what do you think is going to happen? And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, you shall embrace a son. And she said, No, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie to me. Do not lie to your handmaid. In other words, she probably had many miscarriages and never, ever brought forth a son. And now she says to the prophet, Do not lie to me. I don't want to hear it. It's hard enough that I have no children. You know, you have no children, you want to get pregnant? My God, cry out to God that He make you fertile. Cry out to God that He make you fertile. That's what you need to do. And God will make you fertile. And the woman conceived and bore a son that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day, and he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, My head, my head. And he said to the lad, Carry him to his mother. So this little boy now has problems. His problem with his head. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, the little boy sat on her knees till noon and then died. So you're going to see that this little child that was promised died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband, and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God, and come back again. And he said, Therefore will you go to him today. It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. In other words, it's not a feast day. How can I go to the man of God? And the woman said, It's going to be okay. Then she saddled her donkey and said to her servant, Go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came into the man of God at Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar, he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is the Shunammite woman. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, It is well. She's got faith. Her child is dead, but she says, It is well. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is broken within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son from my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in hand, and go thy way. And if you meet any man, don't salute him, don't say anything to him. And if any man salute you, don't answer him. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. So the prophet says, bring the staff, and the staff has power because it belongs to the prophet. Lay it on the head of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing, wherefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, The child is not awake. So we see that this was not the way that God was going to heal the baby or the child. And when Elisha had come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed, and went in therefore and shut the door upon them, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands, and stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child grew warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, Call this Shunammite woman. So that he called her, and when she had come to him, he said, Take your son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. You see, when we're praying for healing, it's not always the same thing. Even Elisha thought that, you know, his staff would be great enough to bring healing to the boy that was dead. But he needed to get on the boy, eye to eye, mouth to mouth, hand to hand, you know, feet to feet. He needed to do that so that the baby or the boy or the child would wake up. There is no certain way that we deal with people all the time the same way. God is very, very beautiful. He has many ways to touch people. We don't do it always the same way. Why? Because God is beautiful, and he has lots of ways to deal with people. You don't deal with people the same way every time you deal with people. You've got to listen and see how God is calling you to deal with people. Let me tell you what happened at one of the services. This man came up to me, and I prayed with him, and I said, tell me about your father. And he said, well, he's not very prayerful. He's not very into God. I said, I don't care about that. What was your relationship with your father? And he said, probably there was not much of a relationship. I said, you're going to have to forgive your father today. Forgive your father. He didn't know what he was doing. Forgive your father. So the man said the words, I forgive my father. And the next day he came up to me and said, thank you for what you did. I did nothing. I just told him to forgive his father. You know, how many times do we have to forgive our parents because they're not perfect? How many times do we have to forgive ourselves because we're not perfect? Sometimes we have to forgive God because we feel he let us down. He didn't, but that's just human. You have to forgive God. And people say, how can I forgive God? He's always right. That's right, he's always right, but your plans did not work, and you were stuck, so you have to forgive God. And even though God is perfect, God didn't do it. It's the way you perceive it. And the Lord accepts that. He accepts that. That's the way you perceive it. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on a great pot of porridge, a pottage, for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered therefore wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat any more. But he said, then bring meal. And he cast the meal into the pot and said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. And there came a man from Baal Sheslah and brought the man of God bread of first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk. Therefore he said, give unto the people that they may eat. Give unto the people that they may eat. And the servant said, what should I set this before? 100 men. In other words, it's not going to feed 100 men. He said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be some left over. So he set it before them, and they did eat, and according to the word of God, there was some left over. That was the reading from yesterday at Mass, that Elisha multiplied the 20 barley loaves, which were the first fruits. Again, first fruits. They were the sweetest thing. They gave it to God. That's what we need to do. The first fruits need to be given to God, our tithe. This is so important. There would have been no miracle without the first fruits, which was given to God. You understand what I'm saying? God uses what we have, and he multiplies it. That's what God is into. The Lord is into multiplication and not into division. If you're dividing people from people, I just want to tell you, you're not of God. You're of another spirit, and you better stop it because God is angry with you. You better just stop it because God doesn't want you to do that. So let's look at the gospel from yesterday. It's another experience of multiplication. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Yes, they had no penicillin. They only had Jesus. People would die of infections. So they knew that this Jesus healed the sick. So there were always crowds that followed him. And these crowds left their house. They didn't pack lunches, I'll tell you. They left their house and they came and found Jesus wherever he went. Jesus went up on a mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was very near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw the large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, where can we buy enough food for these people to eat? He said this to test Philip, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip said, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said, There is a little lad, a boy here, who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what is that to so many? Jesus said, Have the people recline. Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so the men reclined, 5,000 in number. 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. We have Andrew, who finds this little boy who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. And you know what's going to happen? As the little boy gives over what he has to God, to Jesus, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be multiplication. As you give over what you have to God, there's going to be multiplication. God multiplies. That's why I keep on saying people need to tithe their money. God multiplies. He says, Test me. I will open the windows of heaven. Now, there must have been between 10 and 15,000 people on that hill. The only thing you could see would be people. They covered the whole hillside. And what does Jesus do? Let's see what he does. First of all, it's Andrew that brings the little boy to Jesus, and that's wonderful. Andrew brought Peter to Jesus too. And Andrew brought the Greeks to Jesus in the 12th chapter of St. John. Andrew is crazy about Jesus. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, it sounds Eucharistic, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also so much fish as they wanted. And when they saw, nothing would be wasted, so they collected the fragments and filled 12 wicker baskets with the fragments from 5 barley loaves that had been more than the people could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, This is truly the prophet, the one who was to come into the world. Since Jesus knew that they were going to come to carry him off to make him a king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. Why does he withdraw? Because his kingship is going to be on a cross. He withdrew. This is a temptation. This is a temptation for him. What do you want to choose, Jesus? A throne or the cross? And you know, he chose the cross so that we might be free. We see again, this little lad gave Jesus all that he had. This is very important, that we give Jesus what we have and he multiplies it. This is real. The little lady had 1 pot of oil, and Elisha said, Go get more pots and let's fill them up. We give Jesus what we have, our 5 loaves and 2 fish. We might not have 5 loaves and 2 fish. We might have a lot less, but we give it to Jesus and we see what happens. It multiplies. You say, Jesus, this is what I have. I just can't get along without you. This is something that I want to tell you, the story about Joe Nickley. He's a deacon and he does wonderful things on the South Shore. And Joe, when JT, his son, was a baby, went to church with his wife, Rhonda, and the baby. And he only had $10 in his wallet, and the Lord said, Give it all. Rhonda said, We need to buy milk. Well, they could have got milk from the grandmother. But Joe said, No. The Lord said, Give it all. So he gave it all. He gave it all, gave what he had to the Lord. He gave it all. And what happened? When he went home, there was a check waiting for him from the insurance company that he wasn't expecting. You give God what you have, not what you don't have. You give God what you have, not what you don't have. And then you see the multiplication that God has for you and for me.
We started in 1984. I gave God what I had, the little gift of preaching that He had given me. And what has happened? He has multiplied it so that many people throughout the country hear my voice preaching Jesus. Give God what you have, not what you don't have. What you have is good enough. And God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will multiply what you have. If you have a beautiful voice, give God your voice. It'll get better. It'll get better. It'll get better. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We really need you to respond to us to pay our summer bills. Summer, people go on vacation and they forget us, that we are in need of money to pay our bills. Please write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.